long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate the response that we get to the program. Not that I need to hear things all the time, but hearing things every once in a while, and somebody's saying, well, you know, really appreciate, you know, their message from last week or a couple weeks ago. It just helps every now and then if you go some period of time and you don't hear much, that's okay. People are busy, and God will put in somebody's heart to just send a little note of appreciation, because God knows that maybe, you know, I'm just kind of feeling like, gosh, you know what, I wonder if anybody listened last week, kind of a thing. And I know they do. How many times have I heard things on the radio that I have ever commented and written to the producer or the podcast host or whatever and tell them that I appreciated it? I don't need two hands to count that, the number of times I've done that. I don't need one hand. Maybe I need one finger. Maybe. I get it. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. I ask that you anoint the words that I have to share with your children. Father, I am merely a conduit, and I ask that this conduit be clean and pure and holy, and that there be nothing in my heart and mind to obstruct the flow of the Word of God. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week we talked about the whole concept of how do you kind of endure what you can expect now, but what's waiting for you at the end. And I touched on the fact in the beginning that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But one of the things that he does, and he does it very, very well, is to cause division. We touched on that, but this message is about that topic, which I have titled Divide and Conquer. And I will simply say, having been in a fair number of churches in different places I have lived around the country, be that Michigan, be that Virginia, Oklahoma, California, Arizona. So I've been in a few churches, and you get to a church that you love, love, love the church, the people, the teaching, everything. So everything is going well. Satan's last tool is to cause division among the brethren, which is specifically stated as one of the seven things that God hates, those who sow discord among the brethren. I'm not talking about challenging an untruth. I'm not talking about standing up to a pastor who's preaching something that's not the Word of God. No, woe unto you if you don't. Now, if there's discord, you're causing discord among those who aren't brethren. But that's what the Word does. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And Pilate said, what is truth? And the Scripture says, well, the Word of God is truth. The Word of God causes division. Always has, always will. But Satan, when things are going really, really well in a family, in a church, in a community, whatever, he's got one other card to deal, and it's to cause division. And so this is not just another tool in the enemy's toolbox. It is maybe the consummate tool. He doesn't need to use division when things are already messed up. If the church is not preaching the Word of God, if the pastor has gone sideways, he's already getting what he wants, right? The people are confused, destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I want to start this message the same way I'm going to end it, basically, and that is that the premise being that anything other than the truth of the Word of God that causes division is of the devil. Anything other than the truth of the Word or the word, just word truthfully delivered, then the devil is behind that. It was Julius Caesar who popularized the phrase divide and conquer. His thought was, plan was simple. If I can divide them, I can conquer them. If I can cause division, I will own them. But he didn't invent it. Satan did. And I look at all the things, which I don't want to spend time on with the precious few minutes we have in this program to go down the line of how he's causing division in this country. But just one simple thing coming from the Episcopal Church here last week, loosely called a church, in my opinion. I don't think they'd recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, but they've had this refugee resettlement program that they've had forever. And now that when there are people that are whites who are being targeted for destruction, confiscation of property, and so forth under the black rule in South Africa that are being given asylum status in the U.S., the Episcopal Church has come out and said specifically, we will not participate in helping resettle whites. Do you think they... No, I think it's a loser denomination and it's been lost for a long time. But do you think they just came up with that themselves, or do you think that the enemy, Satan, has placed a seed that somehow if you're white, you're bad, you're wrong, you don't deserve justice because you're the source of injustice. Whatever all that garbage is that we've hear forever, which are all divisionary tactics of the enemy, I should add, can I sow discord? Well, I'll sow discord ultimately, if I can, in the churches. And like I said, the Episcopal Church being loosely so-called a church, in my opinion, just a political arm of the left, but nonetheless, a religious arm of the political left. That's what I meant to say. But the churches are splitting because of division over social issues. The enemy comes in. He sows bad seed. The rift occurs caused by the enemy. And then what? What does the wayward church do? When they bring in unorthodox, unbiblical, heretical teachings, such as queer marriage and gender mutilation for sex change things, which a number of churches, what do they do when they bring it in? And the rift is sown. But then the one who sows the rift demands what? Unity. We got to have unity. A call for unity, which is nothing but a code for surrender. To my side, Satan wins. Jesus said, a city divided against itself cannot stand. Mark 3:25. That's Satan's divide and conquer strategy. Divide a city. But if you look at what God wants and what the enemy wants to separate us from, I want you to consider a few things here today. What God has brought us together as a husband and wife, for example, let no man tear asunder. That's from Scripture, right? God says that he hates divorce. Now understand that he's not hating the individuals, but he clearly and justifiably, he's God, hates the results and the consequences that the divorce can cause on the families. And then the way those families get sidelined. Do they get sidelined? If they're all wrapped up in marital strife, guess what else? Guess what they're not doing? They're not ministering the word of God. They're no witness to anybody else. Nobody wants that witness. It'd be sort of like the CEO of Braniff Airlines, which went bankrupt about 25 or 30 years ago, giving a seminar on how to run a successful airline. When you are wrapped up and Satan can get a division going and you get consumed with a strife, you are not only good for any witness, you actually have a negative witness. You drive people away. It's more than just being sidelined. you've actually become a tool of the enemy. So, again, let me just restate here. God hates divorce, but it's not the individuals. It's the results and the consequences on families and the way those families get derailed. But guess what? I got a grandson. He doesn't come out and just say things. He comes out and says, guess what? Then you have to say what, and then he tells you what he wants to tell you. It was cute. It's kind of wearing on me now, but he'll get out of that. But so guess what? If God hates divorce, who loves divorce? I can promise you it's Satan who loves divorce. If God hates it, Satan loves it. If Satan loves it, God hates it. If God loves it, Satan hates it. They're on the opposite sides on all issues. They don't come together. There's no unity between Jesus and the devil. There isn't a split where there now is this call for unity. Forget that trash. You see, Satan can't go. Why would he hate marriage? Why would Satan love divorce? Well, he can't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Whoa. So if Satan has been divorced from God, then he would logically want us divorced from God as well in the spiritual. But as representative of the relationship between the bride and the bridegroom, he'd want us divorced in the natural. Let's go down to the children a second. So the Bible says that children are to honor and obey their parents. That's Ephesians 6:2. So you see, God loves closely knit, honorable families. Guess what? What? Well, Satan hates closely knit families. And why? Because he has been disinherited from the very first family, the family of God. He's not in the family anymore. So he wants to destroy yours. He wants to wreck everything that he can't have. Are you seeing the pattern here? If you wonder who's on what side of an issue, you just ask the question, would God love this? And if God loves it, then you know that Satan hates it. And if God hates it, you know that Satan loves it. It's really pretty simple, but you got to know, you got to have a reasonable handle on the Word of God to get to that conclusion or that form of analysis. That's probably a better way you should say it. So the Bible says that we are to honor the king. And only when the king commands us to do what God prohibits or prohibits us from doing what God commands, only then are we to disobey. But if you look at this country and who that hold what we now have a somewhat righteous authority, but hold a righteous authority in complete disdain, then you can go to Scripture and see where those individuals are actually quite clearly described. And I'm going to take you to 2 Peter for this passage. And in 2 Peter, it says, I was going to print this out and I just lost my page. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, starting in verse 10. I'm going to start back up in number 9. The Lord knows how to deliver godly people out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, because we're talking about honoring the king here. Understand the context we're talking about, honoring the king and when you can disobey, when you must disobey, and when you must obey, which I made clear. We have a command to do what God, if we're being commanded to do what God prohibits, we are to disobey. And if we're prohibited from doing that which God commands, we are to disobey. But all those that are challenging lawful and godly authority today, says those are the ones that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and they despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, they don't bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord. No, even the angels are in a measure of control and bringing, they said, the angels are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusation against these other people before the Lord. The Lord knows who the other people are, but the angels don't even do that. And obviously these are godly spirits before the God of the universe, the God of the world, the God of the ages, our Heavenly Father. But these others, they are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Ooh, we're talking Antifa here? We're talking a whole bunch of... we're talking about part of Congress here. The three the other day or last week there that at the ICE Center. But anyway, they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deception and deceivings while they feast with you. In other words, like these three that were at the ICE Center, they're just grandstanding. They're wanting the public to consume. They're feasting with you. They did this solely to be seen, not in the name of justice. But continuing on, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls on TV. Well, the on TV part I added. But beguiling unstable souls, the people that just turn into the news. The news isn't run by godly people, except a few things like Newsmax, but for the most part, no. They're decidedly ungodly, and they're all about division. We know that from the last 4 years of the previous administration. It's obvious. You say, oh, you're getting political. No, I'm just telling you the truth. If the truth is political, then so be it. I have a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They are cursed children. Covetous practices, what's that? They want illegally, inappropriately, and in an ungodly fashion everything that others have obtained in a godly, legitimate fashion. They want fame. They want attention, not because they've done anything good or worthwhile. They want it because they are animated by the dark side. Right? The force is not with them, or it's the wrong force. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way. Now, this is an interesting passage. They have forsaken the right way. So these people who are causing the divide, causing the division, Scripture would seem to indicate that they, or certainly a significant number of them, know or knew the right way. It says they've forsaken the right way. You don't forsake something that you never had. You forsake something you did have. Otherwise, the word forsake doesn't mean what its meaning is. They've forsaken the right way. You know, it says in Scripture that God wants our speech to be salted with grace. Now, I'll be the first to confess that my speech has not always been salted with grace. I was at a county board meeting last week, and I There was a party, a couple parties, were just flat out lying. And this planning commission seemed to have no sense of discernment. At least some of them had no sense of discernment to understand what was an obvious lie. It was palpable. And yet, during a break after being there 3 hours, and I, my wife, and about 60 other people who were in opposition to something, never had a chance to speak. Then they decided to have lunch and made us wait till after lunch to ever be able to speak. So they kind of thought they'd beat us in a game of attrition. There were a lot of people there. And the authorities seemed, in my opinion, to overly countenance the parties that were not telling the truth. The speech salted with grace. Well, here's where my confession comes in. During that break, I want to tell you, my wife just kind of toned me down. One of the guys was just patently lying and had a crowd of about 12 people around him hearing more garbage. I wanted to take him off at the knees with a rusty knife, verbally. And my wife restrained me. I mean, not like she had to grab me, but just, hey, just settle down, let it go. All right, let it go. But I was about ready to proceed with speech that did not have much salt in it. It probably had more jalapeno in that speech, and not grace. But in any case, we're all subject to that. The things that we, in the flesh, that rises up. God says in Colossians 2:6, he wants our speech to be salted with grace. But 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34, Satan wants us to be corrupted by what comes out of our mouths. God wants salt and grace. So if God loves salt and grace, guess what Satan hates? Salt and grace. If God hates corruption coming out of our mouths, then Satan loves corruption coming out of our mouths. I mean, Mark 7, 15 says that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of that mouth that defiles him. You know, God loves unity among the brethren. So what does Satan hate? Satan hates unity among the brethren. And as I mentioned a little earlier, or at least I alluded to it, and I may have even spoken or misspoken that there were, I think I may have said there were seven things. It was six things that said the Lord hates. And without going through all the six, which is not the point of this passage right now, one of them is that he hates those who spread discord, soweth discord among the brethren. So if God hates division, who loves division? Satan. Now, there's a lot of third graders that hate division because they don't understand how to do long division. It's not that kind of division we're talking about. We're talking about separation on a spiritual level here. So you can see that all of these things, and maybe summarizing, that's what I better do here. What does Satan want to separate us from? He wants to separate us from our spouses because he loves divorce. God hates it. Wants to separate us from our children. He hates close-knit families because he's not part of the family of God. He got disinherited. He's out. He wants to separate us from the brethren. It says in James 3:16, where strife and confusion is, there's every evil work. But he's got to get the strife in there. He's got to, that's his groundwork. He tills the ground, and then he plants the seed. Now, I mean, the Word of God, consider for a second here, the centuries that the Catholic Church wouldn't allow its congregants to simply read the Word of God. And no wonder they got so messed up. Because, as I said, if God's Word is withdrawn or withheld, whose Word is going to enter in? And if He can conquer you with easier means, a family, a church, a community, a neighborhood, you, with less, He will distract you. Distraction is a great tool. But division is His end game when the other things haven't or won't work. But I don't want to end this in a negative manner because the Word is very encouraging. I mean, it comes out of Romans chapter 8. Since I know you're pretty close by there anyway. No, actually, you're probably not. But Romans chapter 8 makes it very clear what He can't separate us from. And what can Satan not separate us from? The love of God. It says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, when he speaks of angels, he's talking really, I think, about fallen angels, principalities. Those are bad principalities and powers. God would not separate or want us separated from things of which He was the source and were rightfully, properly created and operating in the manner in which God designed them to operate. So the enemy cannot separate you from the love of God. But he will make every attempt to separate you from God's Word. The love of God, he can't do that, because that's God's love coming in our direction. But separating us from God's Word, that's you and I and others that are not going back in the other direction. In other words, seeking out His Word. That's within our control, our direction, our discretion to make it as harmless as possible. Evil teachings and heretical theories masquerading as doctrines abound in churches. But if that doesn't work, then on to the distractions, the time wasters. You know, Romans and Acts, Paul was concerned about when he would leave. In Acts 29 and 30, he's talking about he was concerned about this for years, that when he left, the enemy would come in and sow discord among the brethren to break up the unity that was necessary to be an effective force in this world. He said he bore tears for years, concerned about his departure. One of the reasons he didn't want to depart was because he knew that Satan would enter in, and even among some in his own group that weren't a problem at the moment, that when he was living, would rise up and cause division in the body. So I want you to test something, because Jesus didn't come to bring peace but a sword, and that sword is truth, the Word of God. Try it. If it causes a problem, it's not your problem. But anything that causes division other than that truth is from the enemy. So you test out this little axiom here, right? He didn't come to bring peace but a sword. That's truth. Anything that causes division other than truth is from the enemy.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, I hope that this message has blessed you. Check out the passages that I cited, and you'll be in good stead. God bless you. See you next week.